You hear a knock on the door and open it to find two friendly representatives from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, otherwise known as the Mormon Church. What will you say? Will you send them away without a Christian witness, or will you engage them in a meaningful and Christ-honoring conversation? If you desire the latter, may we suggest the book, Answering Mormons Questions by Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson. Answering Mormons Questions is available at the Utah Christian Research Center, 579 West Galena Park Place in Draper, Utah. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. This week, we are addressing a common statement that we hear from Latter-day Saints whenever you try to emphasize that our justification comes by faith alone in what Christ has done on our behalf. They will immediately drop back and say, yeah, but what about, and they will take you to the book of James chapter 2, where it talks about faith without works being dead. We're not trying to skirt that argument at all. We want to meet it head on. In fact, we would firmly agree with what James is saying regarding works, but we need to put it in a proper perspective. Before we get into our passages today, I want to bring out this. In our understanding of salvation, we can look at salvation as being an accomplished fact. That's one way it's been described. In other words, we have been saved. And I might add, when it comes to James chapter 2, this is who James is addressing, those who have been saved. In chapter 2 alone, he refers to brothers that he is writing to. Verse 1, for instance, my brothers, show no partiality. Then later on in verse 5, listen, my beloved brothers. And then verse 14, he says, what good is it, my brothers? He's referring to Christians here. So obviously, they have been saved. But salvation can also be understood, as it's been said, as a present experience. In other words, we are being saved. Eric, would you agree that this is really what James is talking about, this present experience of being saved? All right, so we've already been justified, but what do we do now? How do we act now? And that's why he's dealing with this works aspect.
You're exactly right, Bill. And we have justification. That's a past experience when you believe through faith. We have present tense, what James is talking about, sanctification. This is working out your salvation with fear and trembling, as the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 2:12. And we also have glorification, which is not really talked about in here, but that would be the future state of salvation. So whenever you see the word saved in the Bible, you have to ask, what is the context? What is it trying to say? On our website, mrm.org/James-2, you will find a description of the differences between justification and sanctification. And I think it's crucial for you as a Christian to understand this if you're going to be able to properly exegete the second chapter of James.
Well, I want to read something before we go on here, because I was mentioning that if you're one to write in your Bible when James talks about can that faith save him or can faith save him, it might help you to write in your margin to put can that kind of faith save this particular individual. That's within the context of James chapter 2, 14 and 15, because that's what we have to ask. If a person only professes to have faith, and that's about it, then I think that's questionable. They may not have any works that are going to follow because they don't have a real justifying faith. They have not been renewed as a new creature in Christ, but they're only saying words. And sadly, as I mentioned in our first broadcast on this subject, a lot of people who profess to be Christian seem to live just like that. They say one thing and they do another. Now, even those of us who are trying hard to be consistent in our faith are oftentimes very inconsistent. If you're not sure about that, just ask your spouse. I'm sure they'll be glad to point that out to you. And that's unfortunate, but this is a part of our present experience of salvation, our sanctification. We are not always going to be 100% in how we are demonstrating our faith. And James, I think, is addressing this when it comes to the work aspect, because apparently there was someone that is saying, well, look, I'm saying I'm a Christian, but I don't have any works to show for it. And another aspect is, well, I claim to be a Christian, but I do have works that I can show that demonstrate what I believe. And this is what we're trying to address here.
The first part of verse 18, chapter 2 from the ESV says, someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Bill, wouldn't a Latter-day Saint say that he has both faith and works? And yet the works that he has, if it's not coming out of a true faith, it's going to be worthless works. And Jesus says that there will be many who use the term works. I have many good works. And Jesus says he doesn't know them in Matthew chapter 7. And so I'm going to say you have to have proper faith in order to have the works that are considered good.
I think you make a good point there, because we do have a lot of Latter-day Saints that want to emphasize all the things that they are doing. You've heard me say many times in my conversation I had with one LDS gentleman who just kept rattling off all the things he had done. He began every sentence with, I've done this, I did that, I did this. And what I tried to gently show him after he finished was that he didn't really understand what grace is really all about. All he was giving me were his alleged accomplishments. He wasn't giving any praise to Christ and what Christ did. See, we would begin our sentence with hopefully the word he. He did this on our behalf. He did this for us. We certainly do believe we're saved by works, but they're not our own works. And this is why it's very important that we explain to our LDS friends that we are not downplaying a life of works when it comes to us as believers, but it has its proper place. So when we see, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Okay, a Latter-day Saint comes to me after I'm trying to explain to him justification by faith alone in what Christ has accomplished for us. And he says, but I have works. The problem is, I don't think the Latter-day Saint's faith is a correct faith. Because if the Latter-day Saint even believes for a little bit that his works are necessary in order to be justified, he doesn't have proper faith. He might call it that, but it's not the true faith that we see in the New Testament. So that area needs to be corrected. You can't say, well, I believe in Jesus, and then say, I have to do all these things in order to make his salvation efficacious for me. Because basically what you're saying is whatever Jesus did was not enough, making it necessary for you to complete the equation with your individual works.
The second part of verse 18 says, show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Douglas Moo, a commentator, says, genuine faith cannot exist without works. When James says to the objector, show me your faith apart from your works, he is not simply challenging him to give evidence for his faith. He is suggesting that faith the objector claims to have is not faith at all. Bill, they go together. Let's just say, though, that the Latter-day Saint is correct and that works are required for us to be able to make appeasement with God as far as our sins are concerned. What's the problem with someone saying, it's based on my works? Are they capable of doing everything that they're supposed to do?
No, they can't. And that's why it's so important that we place our trust in the finished work of Christ. He did it all. He did everything that was necessary for our salvation. We are merely placing our trust in what he did and not ourselves.
Bill, we ought to go back to verses 8 and following of the same chapter. It's not in the exact passage we're dealing with this week, but I think it applies to what we're talking about right now. Verse 8 says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point, has become accountable for all of it.
For all the times that I've had Latter-day Saints take me over to James 2:20, I have never, ever in all my 40-plus years of talking to Latter-day Saints, have I had any Latter-day Saint take me to James 2:10. Why is that? Well, because none of them are living up to James 2:10. And what's interesting is how James brings it in with verses 8 and 9. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin. In other words, when we are inconsistent with our life and we're purposely being inconsistent, thinking that it's not all that important, we are doing our unsaved friends and loved ones no good. What good is it? That's how verse 14 starts off. But when he brings up in verse 10, for whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. Interesting. That's the same thing that the Apostle Paul brings up in Galatians 3:10. He uses that same kind of argument. If you think that works are going to save you and that is what's going to make you justified, you better be doing all of the work. If you ask a Latter-day Saint that points to his works, how many of those works must you keep? He's going to tell you he needs to be keeping all of them, but of course, none of them are.
You're right. When you ask that question, how many laws or how many commandments are you to keep? All of them, how often? All the time. I mean, Doctrine and Covenants, section 25, verse 15 says, keep my commandments continually. How many, you ask a Latter-day Saint? He'll say all of them. And a crown of righteousness thou shalt receive. And except thou do this, where I am, you cannot come. But I'm fascinated with verse 14, right before verse 15. And it says, continue in the spirit of meekness and beware of pride. Let thy soul delight in thy husband and the glory with which thou shalt come upon him. So when you look at verse 25, it's warning you of pride. But when your Latter-day Saint friend is telling you that good works are required, how many of them are supposed to be kept? All of them. If they were to somehow think that they're keeping them all, which you rarely find, isn't that a proud statement in itself?
Certainly. And I go back to that individual that I was talking about before who started every sentence with I and started listing for me all of his accomplishments. Now, I could have easily gone head to head with him and said, well, I've also done this, this, and this. That's more having to do with my sanctification. But the way he was bringing it up was, I've earned my right to get what I want from God. As a New Testament Christian, I know I haven't earned my right to get what I need from God.
One more time, I think we ought to read verse 10. It says, for whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. The book, Sharing the Good News with Mormons, edited by Sean McDowell and Mormonism Research Ministries' Eric Johnson, offers practical witnessing strategies from a number of Christian missionaries, scholars, and pastors. Sharing the Good News with Mormons is available at the Utah Christian Research Center, 579 West Galena Park Place in Draper, Utah. Stop by to also check out our large selection of Bibles. At the Utah Christian Research Center, there is always someone who will be glad to answer your questions. Open Wednesday through Saturday at 10 a.m.